Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Thursday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. I don't know why I bother recording that every day. I mean, they should just take my generic hello, happy Monday, hello, happy Tuesday, hello, and then so I'd have less words. I get paid exactly the same, still get the £8, but I don't have to go, hello! Anyway, I've done it. So if someone could clip that and then move it, and then so I don't. Anyway, we begin the podcast on breakfast with the former Liverpool Man City midfielder Dietmar Hamann, who was very critical of the current Manchester City side, and he thinks they've peaked under Pep Guardiola, or Guardiola, no one actually knows, not even Pep.
City hasn't got a centre forward at the moment, and Guardiola's been there for a few years now, and usually after 3-4 years, because he squeezes teams out and tries to get the best out of players. But I think he's very demanding, and I think City has peaked under Guardiola. I don't see them the league or the Champions League under him. If you look at the record in the league, I think any other manager would have been in big bother. Obviously, they've got some Barcelona history in the boardroom, and that might be a reason why he's still there. But if you look at the record in the Champions League, he didn't reach a final in 7 years now. With Bayern Munich and with Manchester City, and if you look at the teams who reached a Champions League final in that time, they didn't have the funds Bayern Munich or Manchester City has. City has never been to a semi-final in 4 or 5 years, and it's simply not good enough. And if you look at the team they got beaten by, I just wonder what has to happen for them to make a change. And you don't like managers to get sacked, but as I said, I think any other manager, if he had the record of the Champions League he had, would have been in big bother.
Now, yesterday, the FA launched a new football leadership diversity code to drive diversity and inclusion across English football. The chair of the FA's inclusion advisory board, Paul Elliott, explained to White and Jordan how they came up with the percentage targets.
Well, it's quite simple. The 15% is in line with the national statistics, you know. That's the 15%. The 25% is in accordance with the playing database. So effectively what you're saying is if clubs are going to hire, for example, and this is based on new hires, 4 players, you know, 1 in 4, 25% of that will be one from a black, Asian and mixed heritage background. So that's in line with the current playing base. And we have to say 30 to 33% in the players that play the game are black anyway. So I think that's a very fair reflective, and most players that play the game wish to go into the coaching. So as far as I'm concerned, I think they're very fair, it's equitable, and it's based on data and fact.
And Adrian Durham added his thoughts on TalkSport Drive, and he thinks more needs to be done to get female coaches into the men's game.
This code is all positive, so let's go with it. Let's also scrutinise the results as well to see if it works. Just one brief thing I want to highlight, though, in all of this, an amazing thing. There are absolutely no women coaching in men's football. Now, women have taken charge of men's football clubs in Norway, in Germany, in France, and in Portugal. In Scotland, Shelley Kerr was in charge of a men's university team. I think they made the Scottish FA Cup qualifying stages, and she was then appointed Scotland women's national team boss, so there is a pathway. Nothing so far in English football, and there is nothing in this new code to bring women into the recruitment process in the men's game either. Aston Villa needed a new men's director of football in July. I thought Ennio Luco might get the job, but it went to a guy from FC Copenhagen, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise, but good luck to him. I think it's time to crack on with that and get more women coaches into the men's game, and let's see where we go from there.
Now, speaking ahead of Celtic against Lille in the Europa League today, the former Southampton defender José Font, who now plays for Lille, told White and Jordan the side are focused on getting a win against a struggling opponent.
Here in Lille, I must be the only one that actually is aware of that, apart from the coach, maybe. Obviously, he looked at the results. We've seen the last results. But we are focused on ourselves. We are focused on the job that we have to do. All we want to do is win tomorrow. We are home, and we want to get the 3 points.
And there's no reason to suggest that you won. I mean, you've started so well, and you're unbeaten in the league.
We had a good, very good start of the season. I like where we are. I like the momentum that we have. I like what we've been doing. You know, how the boys are working, how the boys are focused. So you look at tomorrow, it's another opportunity to get 3 points, Jim. It's as simple as that. We focus on the work that the manager wants us to do, and we want to win the game tomorrow. It's very important.
While Celtic are off the pace in the Premiership, Adrian Durham thinks manager Neil Lennon is rightfully under pressure. This is him confirming everything I've just said about pressure, and he's under it, and Neil Lennon. Oh, you'll hear anyway.
We've lost one game in the league. It was to Rangers at home. Of course there's going to be scrutiny. This is Celtic and Rangers, the old firm. It's Glasgow. It's Scottish football. There's going to be scrutiny when you lose a game like that. He said the media are a disgrace and the fans need to calm down. Listen, let's just step back and look at the reality. Celtic didn't make the Champions League. They lost at home to Rangers. They drew at Aberdeen at the weekend with 3-2 up in the last minute. Any Celtic manager would be under pressure. Martin O'Neill, Billy McNeil, and
Strachan,
Neil Lennon. They're all going to be under pressure. Jock Stein would have been under pressure.
Of course.
I mean, there are a lot of nasty rumours doing the rounds that things he's talking about poison. It's all going on in Glasgow. And that's not good. And that's unacceptable. But if Lennon thinks he's going to get an easy ride after the start that Celtic have made, he is deluded.
Speaking to Andrew McKenna, or Macca, as no one calls him, on TalkSport 2, the British and Irish Lions head coach Warren Gatland looked ahead to the Lions' 2021 tour of South Africa.
Our planning at the moment is full steam ahead, and it's like everything, you know, things are changing and you've got to be able to adapt. So, look, I can't speculate what's going to happen in the future, and you know, for me to say is the tour going to get pulled, look, I don't know. I mean, that's not in our thinking at the moment, and I'm thinking on a positive thing. I can't speculate every scenario, every situation, and you see now with the football, they're starting to let bigger crowds in, and the planning for that. You know, is there going to be a situation where we have testing that can be done in rapid time? And there's been talk about tests being done on the border, talking about tests being done at stadiums where people go, you know, maybe a 15-minute test or a quick test, so that allows people to come in. Look, there's lots of different scenarios that I think we could go through a million of them, you know, and try and do that. And so we've got to make sure that we're fluid, we're able to adapt to things. Things are changing from month to month, week to week, in fact, but the way we're looking at the moment is, you know, we're planning for a full tour with fans and supporters and South African supporters being there. And, you know, if things are different, then we have to be able to adapt and change. And so, you know, that's for us, everything's just speculation, you know.
Time now to turn our attention to a bit of punching and former world heavyweight champion and trainer of Derek Chisora, David. Oh, I've hurt the little toe. Hey, spoke to James Savundra ahead of Chisora's big fight with Alexander Usyk this weekend. I wonder if Derek Chisora will be hit so hard in the stomach, he'll be all sick. No, doesn't work, does it?
This is the first camp where Derek's bought in absolutely to everything you're offering. Why do you think that is? Do you think that the penny's dropped and Derek realises that this is an incredible opportunity at stake here on Saturday?
It's not so much the opportunity. He's had big opportunities before and he's never really pulled his socks up. I think it's because he was had a little bit of fear that this guy's that good, that this guy's the type of guy who could really do damage to you. You know, this is a tactician. This is a guy who can come from all kinds of crazy angles, hitting you from behind you sometimes. The guy's, you know, he's so three-dimensional. And if Derek Chisora runs out of steam in this fight, it could get very painful very fast. And Derek's the type of guy who absorbs whatever anyone can throw at him. He's like that guy who could just keep taking it and taking it. And Usyk can keep dishing out and dishing out. So if you run out of steam against someone like that, you're in for a very, very long, painful night. And Derek Chisora doesn't want that. Derek Chisora is 36 years old. This is his last roll of the dice. This is his last big opportunity. He's fighting for the WBO mandatory position. Now, effectively, the winner of this fight should fight Anthony Joshua for the big one, for the crown jewels. He's become so battle hardened, so strong, so focused that he's going to cause one of the biggest upsets ever on British soil in the heavyweight division. I can't think of another upset like this. This is a real life and death fight for Derek Chisora. He knows that.
Now, ahead of Arsenal's Europa League tie with Dundalk later, no, me neither, Ian Abrahams caught up with the manager Mikel Arteta and defender Mustafi.
Your team didn't score at the weekend, I think, apart from Manchester City in the Premier League. Leicester were the first team to do that in a couple of years. So what are you expecting from Eddie Nketiah tomorrow?
Well, it's the role of everybody. First of all, mine to give him the solutions and the right structure to attack better. Obviously, this block and the way they set up is not easy at all. But we opened them up in the first half 5 or 6 times and we should have scored the goal. But something that we are not too used to as well, because we haven't faced teams doing it that regularly. But I think it's a really good sign that with Leicester suddenly comes to your house and acts like this, is because they really respect you now and they are concerned. And we have to take that as something very positive, as an advantage, because if a lot of teams start to do that, I'm telling you that we're going to win a lot of games.
Every Premier League side bar Chelsea, who drew their opening game, have won in Europe so far, in both Champions League and also the Europa League. So does that show how strong the Premier League is compared to the other leagues around Europe?
In the last 8 or 10 months, the improvement of the teams in quality, in organisation, and the way they are competing, it's been the biggest I've seen in recent years. And that's why you can see the difficulties of every team to win with big margins. And I think, in my opinion, it's not a coincidence. And you can see that in every Premier League game. So I think the league is in a great place at the moment.
Does the Europa League still represent, maybe for a team like Arsenal, their best way back into the Champions League in a year's time?
It is an option, of course. I mean, in the last years, we have been very close to win it. And of course, when you win it, you go into Champions League. But if you look at the Premier League, you have 38 games that you can play. I think if you look at the amount of the games, probably, of course, the Premier League is the most important competition. But the Europa League is a competition that gives you the way to go into the Champions League, and is a competition where you can win a title, and it's not a bad title to win the Europa League. So that's why I think it is a very important competition for us.
Now, there was more Champions League action last night on TalkSport as Krasnodar hosted Chelsea, and annoyingly, Chelsea won convincingly in the end.
Hudson-Odoi with a shot, and it's in! Horrible moment for the goalkeeper, Safanov. Hudson-Odoi with a routine shot. He should have been saved, but he's gone right through the young Russian. And Chelsea have the advantage 8 minutes before half-time. Better from Chelsea, bringing forward Ziyech, almost able to play it into Pulisic, who does get a shot in. Big appeals for handball, and it is a penalty again to Chelsea. Timo Werner will take this one. Jorginho missed the one in the first half, has gone off. He's just been substituted off. This is for a handball by Martinovic, and Werner will hit it and puts it into the bottom left-hand corner. Chelsea 2 goals to the good.
It's a really good penalty. He just goes for power. It's not too far off centre. The goalkeeper can't react quick enough because it's just too hard. He thunders it into the back of there.
Werner trying to make something happen, and the shot goes in for 3-0. Beautifully taken. Hakim Ziyech scores his first Chelsea goal. And the Blues are 3 up with 10 minutes to go.
That's the Ziyech that we know. That's the one that we saw at Ajax.
Abraham played inside the area. Pulisic, and there is goal number 4. And he's beaten Safanov at his near post. Some icing on the cake for Chelsea.
I'm very pleased with the performance tonight of Rudiger and Kurt Zouma. They can take credit for the clean sheet, amongst other players. I didn't have doubts over Tony. He's training and professionalism has been very clear from the beginning since I've been here, and certainly in recent weeks. And I was very pleased with his concentration levels, the whole back four, back five of Mendy as well, concentration levels to have a real desire to keep a clean sheet. Going forward, we need more than 2 centre-backs. We have Thiago Silva at home, we have Tomori and Christensen in the squad. It's not easy to keep 5 centre-backs happy, but we need the levels of competition that we saw on the pitch today to keep moving forward.
Now, Donny van de Beek started Manchester United's game with Leipzig last night. Oh, we'll never never play. He'll never. He played, all right? So get over it, everyone. Stop moaning. Anyway, someone who'll be pleased with that is the Dutch football expert Marcel van der Kraan, who told the Breakfast Show the Dutchman needs more minutes on the pitch. He's only been there 5 minutes, for God's sake.
He was a big guy in the Netherlands. He was a top boy at Ajax after Matthijs de Ligt and Frenkie de Jong had left. The fans loved him. He was kind of the new icon. He waited longer. He said, I won't go yet. I look for a mature age before I go. And in that way, yes, he has got a bit of aura around him. I don't think he will be on the sideline all season, but we have to take in consideration the conversations he had with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the summer or before the summer. He was in demand at Barcelona, at Real Madrid, where he'd more or less he'd signed there. All that was needed in medical, and things changed in Spain because of the COVID situation and Real Madrid not thinking it was appropriate to make massive signings where everybody was getting laid off in work. And the talks were going on with Solskjaer, private talks. Of course, when we see that a Dutch player is heading to a foreign competition, we make inquiries, we contact the agent, you sound people out. And that's when we found out that he had such great talks with Solskjaer. Solskjaer kind of, well, I won't say promised him things, but he made it so clear, look, don't go to the other clubs, come to me, because I've got this and that in my mind with you. And that doesn't go with what the situation is at the moment. And if I see his face in the stand, it's not a happy face, and I can understand that he wants playing time.
And here's what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said after that game.
Manchester United 5, RB Leipzig 0. A first hat-trick for the young career of Marcus Rashford. A superb night for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his management. And Manchester United, brilliant so far in this tournament.
It was a case of using the squad. We had to rest a few players. And I think the ones who came in did brilliant. We had to work hard for this because they really made us work hard off the ball, on the ball as well, because the count, the pressure, the intensity of their play was incredible. And after 2-0, of course, they open up and they go for the goals and the spaces open up for our fresh legs, because we have fresh legs out there. And of course, it's very good to know for the players that we have a strong squad to pick from.
Now, going back to Chelsea, Frank Lampard called on homegrown players to be shown more respect after becoming only the second Englishman to manage in two Champions League campaigns. Simon Jordan, Katie Price's ex-husband, believes players coming through now that have worked under foreign coaches will be in a better place for bigger jobs in the future. Yeah, it makes sense.
The old argument was, back in the day, idiot owners buy foreign players because they're cheaper. But now it's morphed into actually virtually every aspect of English football has an international flavour to it, whether it's the owner, the manager, the assistant manager, the technical director, the coaches, every aspect now. So it has to prove a point that something was necessarily not right in the game and in the way that players came through to be managers. Players became managers. Now you look at the next generation. Frank Lampard has come through working under international managers, and his experiences initially with Harry Redknapp, but he didn't even, and there's nothing wrong with Harry Redknapp, by the way, moving across into all the raft of managers that he had at Chelsea, and you bring out a very different set of managerial thinking that Frank Lampard has from a previous crop of players. So I look at it and simply say that it is because the culture of English football wasn't where it needed to be. And if you take players that had a certain attitude and then you bring them through and make them to managers, they have a similar attitude as managers.
And of course, we finish the podcast with the best bits of my show, Andy Goldstein Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. This is what happened on last night's show, would you believe?
Where's that United side in the league?
Well, we haven't seen it yet, but it's there. The fact that it's there is a good... It's only early in the league.
No, but I'm saying, where is that team?
It's early in the league.
No, but where is it? Why aren't we seeing that?
Well, because there's been so much rotation. It's a long season.
But hold on.
It's a long season, and we're incredibly early on in that season.
Yes, but where's that for United in the league? That's what... he's got to bottle that and find it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to get it.
It's only 5 games old.
Yeah, but I've seen United in the league this season. They stunk the place out.
Yeah.
And I see United in Europe, they've been outstanding.
Yes.
How can you go from stinking a joint out to being excellent?
But I wouldn't say this isn't... The way you're packaging up is like a negative thing. The point is we're getting better.
No, not in the league, you're not. This is
we are in the league.
This is a
genuine... No, we are in the league. First game was appalling.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've no, seen yeah. Palace. I've seen Palace. I've yeah. seen Brighton.
Yeah.
I've seen Newcastle for 80 minutes.
Right.
Where is it?
Well, hold on.
United have got to get.
But United are getting better in the league. They were appalling to begin with. You missed Spurs out of that list as well. Appalling.
I don't know whether United are getting better in the league yet. I don't know whether they are.
Oh, we are.
Nearly time to let you go. Let me tell you about some live football you can hear today at 5 p.m. on TalkSport 2. It's Antwerp against Spurs in the Europa League. That's all we've got time for on this podcast. I'll be back, of course, for Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. That's tonight, obviously, it being Thursday. And Friday means I'll be back on Drive Time, my regular Friday Drive Time slot with Darren Bent. Anyway, that's Friday. Today's Thursday, so tonight it's 10, tomorrow's... Anyway, you get the idea. There will be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcasts out first thing in the morning, so do what you have to do to get it. In the meantime, have a great day. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.